Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. While you're being seated, I want to say a special thank you to all of our men folk. I want to thank you guys. On the platform, the audio booth, the TV truck, we have ushers, traffic team. Well, these guys have been amazing. I think they have really stepped up. We had our angel food distribution this morning, and that we normally have a lot of women helping with that, and so many of the women wanted to come to the conference, and we had more guys volunteer to help take the place of our ladies. And I teased them and said, you know, in all the other churches, it takes 3 men to replace a woman, but here at EMIC, it only takes 2. But that's not true. We have got great guys around here. They are anointed. We have men of God, full of the Holy Ghost, anointed of the Lord, full of the glory. And they are so gracious. Have they not been gracious to you and helped you and been kind? And praise the Lord. So we're thankful for that. We're thankful for what God has given us. And you know, ladies, it's good to be thankful for what God has given you. And you say, well, you ought to see what I've got. Yeah, but you've got something. And so be thankful for that. Hallelujah. And like Kelly said, pursue the love of God. Pursue love and be thankful and grateful for what God has given you. And it'll bring the best out of that fella. I promise you it will. Well, we're going to continue along the lines that we've been hearing this weekend. You know, we didn't get together and have a committee meeting and decide what we should speak on, other than that the Lord told us from glory to glory. But you know, if you're obedient to the Holy Spirit, anytime you're in His presence, anytime you invite Him, anytime you make room for Him, you're going to go from glory to glory. He is never sending you in the opposite direction. You can't even come... in proximity of the Holy Spirit without being affected. And if you yield to Him, then He will take you higher. But if you resist Him, what happens? It pushes you in the other direction. So we want to be people who are yielded to the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a lot of things that yielding to the Holy Spirit, a lot of things that means. And we are, of course, always looking for the wonderful things of God, the blessings of God, the benefits and the promises. But everything in the Scripture is conditional. Why? Because it's covenant. You can answer every question that you have about why this and why that, and it all boils down to one word, and that's covenant. You know, why were there people in the Old Testament that the Lord allowed destruction to come to them? Why? Covenant. He had covenant with some people and not with them. And He is always on the side of His covenant. But covenant means cooperation. It means that there are two parties involved in it, two sides brought into it. And so it's just as important for us to yield to the Holy Spirit as He corrects us, as He challenges us, in order that He might bring us from glory to glory. Like I said, there's nothing ever from God. Nothing. Nothing about Him, nothing from Him that will ever do anything but good for you and good to you and good through you. Nothing. Unless you resist Him. And when you resist Him, it automatically sends you in the opposite direction. So even the things that we hear when the Lord, you know, when the Lord chastens us, when He corrects us, it just hurts so good. Yeah. You know, it's just one of those, whap, whap, oh, thank you, I needed that, you know. There are just things that we need to adjust. And there are times, sometimes, what are you saying, Robert? You gave me the wrong clip on this microphone. It's not my fault. Did you give me the other one? Okay, well, you have to get the other one. Oh, Brenda's got it. See, it takes a woman, I tell you. Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
No, I think we can get it. Sorry, Robert, I couldn't pass that one up. Maybe this will help. Yeah, give Robert a hand. He puts up with me. Was the wrong clip. Let's see. Get this right.
Oh, my. They brought the wrong one still. Almost, Brenda, but not quite. We'll see if we can make this work. Mm-mm. No? Oh, wait. I made it work. I worked it. I got it. It's a twisty. Okay.
No, don't you come up here and fuss with me about this microphone. I don't want it on my jacket.
But then I have to go back there and take my clothes off and all that other business.
No, yeah, but it looks awful. Only a guy would go, yeah, that's fine.
Let me see. Oh, I got it. That is not. Girl's got to do what a girl's got to do.
All right. Now, nobody else complain about my microphone.
It's set. Does anybody remember what I was talking about?
Boy, I had a lot to say in just a couple of minutes. Amazing. Okay. So, covenant. Thank you. I heard that word. That helped me. Covenant. So, when we want to let the Holy Spirit talk to us in such a way that it changes us, that it corrects us, and that it reminds us. A lot of correction isn't always you did bad, you did wrong, but it's more like course correction. We don't want to be stubborn. We want to be quick, really quick. Then when we hear something from the Lord, something that we're neglecting, something that we're not paying the kind of attention to that we should, we want to make that adjustment just as quickly as we can. If you will practice doing that, it is amazing what can happen in your life. And this is one of the main purposes, one of the main responsibilities and callings of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that the Spirit of God is sent and He will remind you of everything that I've said to you. You know, it's too hard when we try to do those kinds of things in the flesh. Even from the conference this weekend, my goodness, the things that you've heard just in the last three sessions, you know, your little heads are probably just packed full. Mind's packed full. Our hearts are full. We leave. So how can you remember all that? Well, if you try to approach it in the natural and you just try to remember, and I'm going to go back and read my notes. Well, you'll probably be able to keep that up for a day or two. But instead, if you will allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and lead you, He'll lead you to what? He'll remind you. He'll instruct you. He will help you. He'll do it for you if you will yield to Him. That's our main job, is yielding to Him. Now, let me switch gears just a little bit now that we have that said. There's been several references today, and starting last night, about the days that we live in. And it's a very serious time. We're at the end of it, ladies. We're at the end of it. We've been seeing the end coming, but we are in the end of the end. I don't know how much longer it can go on. Of course, I said that a year ago, and sure enough, things are even worse. Why is that? Because it's growing worse beyond our imagination. It's beyond our ability, especially as believers, it's beyond our ability to just naturally conceive of the darkness that's out there. Now, here's the thing. The darkness is out there, and the Bible says, Jesus said that this was going to get worse and worse to such a degree that over into the tribulation, if the Lord didn't cut it short, even the elect wouldn't make it. So what does that say to us? Well, we thank God that we're a part of the church and that He has, the Bible says, a way of escape for us. But it also is a warning to us to know that just because you are a believer and your spirit is sealed for the day of redemption, that doesn't automatically mean that you glide through these days without being touched by it. It doesn't mean that you are It's that it's impossible for you to be affected by the things that you see and that you hear. You can't live in this society without recognizing that wherever you look, wherever you go, you can't turn on the television. You can't even drive down the road without nasty billboards. And you can't check out at the grocery store without magazines all around you. And listening to people talk. And, you know, we had a serviceman at the house a couple of days ago. And he was a really nice young man. But bless his heart, you know, just ugly words coming out of his mouth. And he didn't even know it. He probably didn't even know they were ugly. One person, this was in, I think this was in England, there was a man that was telling a group of young children about Jesus and the birth of Jesus. And this little boy came up to him later and he said, "Why would God name his only son a cuss word?" He had never heard the name of Jesus in any other way but in swearing. So in his whole mindset was that the word Jesus is a cuss word and that God named his son a cuss word. And so you can't go without these things, without being ever so conscious of the need to yield to the Holy Spirit and ever so conscious of the things that the Word tells us. And allow the Spirit to lead us. Bible says He is sent as the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of the Word of God. And He is the voice of the Word of God. You know, without the Holy Spirit, you could read the Bible, and you probably have this experience, where you read the Bible and its words, and you know the words, and you can think the words, but you think to yourself, "Now, what does that mean? I don't get that. That doesn't say anything to me." Why? Because you're not reading it or listening to it with a voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you get a letter from somebody, you hear their voice when you're reading it, don't you? You get a note from someone, you see their face, you hear their voice. Well, the Holy Spirit is the voice of God. He's the voice of Jesus in the Word of God. And that's why when you put the Word in your heart, then when you're walking along, you're going along, you're making your plans, you're making your decisions, you're just going through the day, but your ear is attentive to Him, then He will speak that Word to you in a way that gives you direction and orders your path. He will speak that Word to you in a way so that you the thing to do, it comes to you as a voice, not an outward voice. That may happen, but not very often, if ever. But that inward voice, that inward knowing, that inward leading. You know, when my dad, back in 1962, the night that he gave his heart to the Lord, he said he heard Mrs. Taggart's voice, his Sunday school teacher, when he was 12 years old. "Boys, you've got to ask Jesus into your heart." Well, the Mrs. Taggart wasn't there, but the Holy Spirit reminded him of the words of Jesus with Mrs. Taggart's voice, and that voice came back on the inside of him. I had a wonderful opportunity one time. I was on an airplane with Sam Donaldson. You know Sam Donaldson, the great big bushy-eyebrowed guy on the news? Well, I sat next to him. Actually, he had an empty seat next to him. And so I went and I said, "Could I sit next to you for a few minutes?" And of course, the stewardess about had a cow. He said, "That's all right. That's all right." So I sat down with him a little bit. And we started to talk a little bit. And I said, "You know, I just wanted you to know that I pray for you." He said, "Oh, yes? Why do you pray for me?" And I said, "Well, because I figure that I need prayer and everybody needs prayer. So I figured you need prayer. Don't you need prayer?" He said, "Yeah, but I just wanted to know why you think I need prayer." I said, "Well, everybody needs it." You know, he was very investigative as we were talking. So we talked for a little bit, and he let me share with him. I said, "Would you like to know what I pray for you?" He said, "Yes, I would." So I told him, and I quoted to him Ephesians 1, 17, 18, 19, about being filled with his eyes of his understanding, flooded with light, that he would know the intimate secrets of God and know the hope of his calling in Jesus. He said, "The Apostle Paul, right?" I said, "Yes, that's right." He said, "My mother read Ephesians to me and read the words of the Apostle Paul to me all while I was growing up." I said, "Is that right?" He said, "Yes, it is." He said, "I'm very familiar with that." And I said, "Well, you know what I'm going to pray for you now?" He said, "What?" I said, "I'm going to pray that the voice of your mother reading those scriptures will come to you day and night." Hallelujah. And he was very gracious and received that. He was a lovely man. And so I really appreciated that, and I still believe that the voice of his mother reading those scriptures are coming to him and ministering to him. He recognized it right away. He knew, there are a lot of Christians in our circles that you could quote Ephesians 1:17 and they wouldn't have a clue where it came from, but he knew, praise the Lord. So what I'm saying is that the days that we are living in are extremely dark, growing darker and darker and darker. Now, used to, there was such an element of light in the world, especially in the United States and in the nations where they had given God some place, Christian nations. There was enough light out there that you could actually, in fact, the whole world was blessed by the light and walking in the benefit of it. But there's so much darkness in the world now that the light out there is not what it used to be. You're going to have to look a little further for the light. And where do you look for the light? You're going to have to look on the inside. The people of the world are going to have to see the light in you, in other words. It's not out there the way it was, where they were just under an umbrella of the influence of the goodness of God in a Christian nation. But now the light has not only, they have to look for it. You have to draw it out from the inside of you. It has to be on you and around you, so that the light that they see it on you. Some of you, very literally, it needs to actually be shining on you. I've met people before and you think, my, what a glow about that person. What a testimony of the love of God. There was a man, Justice Duplessis, wonderful man of God. Some of you may have heard of him. One of the old timers from early on in this century. And he came here to our church from South Africa one time, and there were a group of us ladies, I don't know what, Mary Lou, about five or six of us, I guess, and in a room, and my husband was doing an interview with Mr. Duplessis. He was a translator for Smith Wigglesworth in Africa, among other people, wonderful men of God in the 40s and 50s. And so we were waiting back there, and the prayer group had come to pray over this interview. So George and Pastor Duplessis did the interview. They got through, and they just walked into the room where we were. We just walked in, and instantly, every one of the people in that room burst into tears. It was a most unusual thing, and what was it? That man walked in such a degree of the love of God, you could not help it. You just be sitting there, just sitting there, nothing special. And he walk in the room and he's like, oh God, because the love of God, and it would convict you in that presence, the gentle love of God. So the world needs us to live in, walk in this highest degree of the glory, which is the love of God. There's no glory apart from love. What is glorious? Love is what's glorious. Now Jesus said, this is my commandment. Now the Bible is full of commands. Of course, in the Old Testament, there's 630 something laws that the Jews were given to live by. Can you imagine trying to keep up with that kind of number? But if you read and study some study Bibles like Dake's, and you read through it, it has a list of all the commands, and it's taken every direct command in the New Testament and listed them out. And there are lots of them. I think there are 210 direct commands in the New Testament of how we're supposed to live. But the one, thank God, just one. In fact, Billy Brim says, she says to the Jews, you have 635, whatever it is, laws to live by. We just have one. They said, oh, wow, just one. She said, yes, we have to walk in love. And they said, oh, that's too... But this one commandment covers them all. Praise the Lord. And why is that? It's because the love of God encompasses everything. There isn't anything in God that is not, it's alive and it's of God because it is of love. It's of love. And it's walking in the love of God. The Bible tells us that will keep us. It keeps us. So we have this one commandment to walk in love. And we've been hearing a lot about that. We hear a lot about that around here. We hear a lot about it in church. But let me tell you, as part of the Copeland family, we hear a lot about it at the house. You can still get in trouble from my dad. You can't. All he has to do is raise one eyebrow and look at you, and you're just like, oh, God, I'm so sorry. Why? I mean, his presence will convict you for not walking in love. George said something, I forget, this was last summer, and he said something, and he was thought he was innocent enough when he said it, but Dad didn't say anything. He just got up and left the room. He didn't huff out or anything. He didn't say anything. He just turned around and left the room. And then a little bit later, he came back to George and said, now, George, this, what you said then is why this is happening. And George said, bless God in Jesus' name. I am never saying that again. I'm never doing that again. Lord, help me, help me. When we talk about walking in love, and here we are in these really dark days, the devil is on, you know, he's really got the go on with a whole amassing whole nations of people to raise up against God. And yet we are commanded to walk in love. And I don't know about you, but if there was ever a challenge to walk in love, there's always been a challenge to walk in love. But to walk in love in these days when it seems like all the devil's on reserve. All the devils are working overtime. You know when they have a really big thing downtown and they call all the police officers in. Nobody gets any time off. Nobody gets vacation days. Everybody's on duty. Well, I feel like during these days, all the devils are on duty. And they're all set to try to draw you off your love walk. They're all there. What do we call that? That is the spirit of the Antichrist. There are a lot of people that are supposing who is the Antichrist. Well, I remember about 25 years ago, everybody thought it was Henry Kissinger. I think he's too old to be the Antichrist now. So people are talking about who is the Antichrist. You know, is this one, is that one, is this one, and that one. But what we need to be more concerned about is identifying the spirit of the Antichrist in our own lives and recognizing it. Being aware of it so that we do not succumb to it. And that's what I'm talking about. You can't walk through this world without having that influence and to have it cross your eyes and in your ears and eventually affect your way of thinking. How many of you know what a paradigm is? A paradigm shift. Not a paradigms. Paradigm. A paradigm is your perspective. It's how you look at it. And when you have got the world's paradigm on things, then suddenly, like was said last night about rape and how there was a time when that was an absolutely horrific crime. Well, it wasn't very long ago that there was a man who had molested some children for 4 years and he didn't even get sent to jail at all. He was put on probation. And so there has been a paradigm shift. Well, you hear enough of that, you won't even realize it. But your thinking starts to adjust and to change because everything's relative. And after a while, you know, that doesn't seem as bad. After a while, you just ignore the homosexual innuendos. You just ignore the overtness. You just ignore the foul language. You just ignore it in a sense of just, you really accept it. And you tolerate it, and if you do that, it will creep into your thinking. It will creep into your lifestyle. It'll creep into your mouth. You'll find that if you just tolerate it enough or just try to keep it out, what happens? You don't instruct your children. You don't take a stand. I'm not talking about being an activist in the streets, unless the Lord leads you to do that, but I'm talking about being an activist over your own life. And all of these things, ladies, it is the spirit of the Antichrist. You can say it this way. The spirit of the anti-glory. The anti-God. The anti-God on you. Jesus was anointed as a man. He let go of his divine anointing in order to acquire and qualify as a man to be anointed so that you could qualify as a person, a man, anointed. So all of this anti-Christ is not just against God himself, not just against Jesus, the risen Lord, But it's against you. It is there to rob you of your anointing. The anointing God has on your life to live as a believer. The anointing that God has on your life for ministry. And your ministry is way more than standing in a pulpit. Your ministry is how you is how you live your life day in and day out. It's the breath that you breathe and how, like Kelly was saying, it's the presentation that you make wherever you go. And there's always a presence, you know, and it doesn't even have to be direct demonic assignment, though there's a lot of that. It's the flow of the world. It's come to such a degree that it's like a rushing river. It just wants to swallow you up in it. Not after you individually, always just wants to draw you into the stream. Just draw you into the flow. Just draw you into that way of thinking. Draw you into that way of behavior. Draw you into that way of communication. Draw you in to the things of the world and the ungodliness and the ungodly thoughts. And not all of it is the level of perversion. You know, it's not all pornography and drug use and alcoholism. But for Christians, this is what I mean, we become tolerant. We are tolerant of unholy character. It shocks me sometimes in our own church that we have things happen and people that the stubbornness, the selfishness. All strife is centered around selfishness, every bit of it. And the things that flare up and people don't even recognize it. They don't mean to be that way, but they don't even recognize it anymore. What has happened? Well, whether you recognize it or whether you don't, it's still an anointing thief. It still will take the presence of God. It will diminish the glory of God in your life. And if it diminishes in your life, then guess what? It diminishes the level of the glory for all of us together. So this commandment to walk in love and this commandment to be separated and to be holy unto the Lord, why? So He can manifest Himself, because there's a whole world out there dying and going to hell. And because we don't want, even though when you die you won't go to hell, you don't want to be headed in that direction anyway and have to make a very sharp U-turn at the end. We want to be headed towards heaven now. So my question is, okay, then how do we do that? I guess that's the pastoral thing. The commandment is there. The challenge has been given. We see that we must. We see even what we must do. But to just leave you with still any lingering idea of, well, okay, I must, but how? I want to show you how. Turn in your Bibles to Jude. Now, I recommend that you, of course, go and read the whole chapter. It's a very interesting chapter. It's just the whole book is only 25 verses long, so it sure doesn't take long, but we won't do that today. But Jude is talking very seriously to the believers about the end times. But we'll start. Well, let's just read something here. I hadn't planned to. He's talking about wicked people. Now I want you to realize something. There are two aspects of wickedness. There's the wickedness that comes from people who are not born again. And I don't care how nice of a person you are, if you don't know Jesus, then you have fallen short of the glory. People say, yeah, but I'm a good person. Well, on that level of conversation, we have to compare your goodness to God. Are you as good as God? Are you as good as Jesus was? Well, no, then you fall short. You don't qualify. You can only qualify with the goodness on the same level as Jesus. See, so you could never qualify on your own. You had to be given His goodness. You have to be given what? His righteousness. And that's what He did. He gave you His righteousness. You were made righteous with His righteousness. So then that is the condition of our inner man, our spirit. But we have this outward man that we are to deal with until it is glorified, until the goodness that's on the inside completely overtakes the carnalness that's on the outside. And in that sense, there is still wickedness in our lives. It's sin. It's the falling short. So we need to recognize that. When we talk about sin, don't just throw it over into the category of the most wicked of the unbelieving, but recognize it's everything that falls short of the goodness of God. Everything that falls short of who He is and who we are designed and destined to be. The Bible says we are predestined to be in the image of Jesus. That will be the end outcome. So He's talking about wicked people of the Old Testament, but I want us to think about this now in the light of the day that we live in. And he talks about people who, the wicked people that He identifies are people who are corrupt in that they, it says, that they have abandoned themselves for the sake of gain. In other words, they did what they wanted to do. It's not just about those things that in your mind you have categorized as perverted and wicked, but bottom line, they did what they wanted to do. Hey, that's what happened in the garden. You know, when Eve did what she did, was it pornography that she pulled off the tree? Was it adultery? Was it murder? No. She did what she wanted to do. Adam did what he wanted to do. And the name for that is rebellion or disobedience. Disobedience is rebellion. So he's telling about all these people of the Old Testament who were rebellious. Verse 14, it was of these people, moreover, that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied when he said, "Behold, the Lord comes with His myriad of holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the impious, unholy ones of their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the severe things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him." The righteousness of God, the goodness of God, the glory of God, which comes because of the love of God, is the instrument for judgment in the earth. The righteousness and the glory that the body of Christ walks in these days will be the reason that God can bring judgment on the wickedness that's in the earth. It's the reason that He'll be able to stop it. You realize that's what this tribulation is about? It's got to come to an end. Can you imagine sin with no end? Just when you think you've seen it all, there's somebody comes up with something else. So the glory of God that we are to walk in, he said that Enoch told him in those days that there were holy ones that their holiness, their righteousness, their purity, their godliness is what judged the rest of the world. And the flood came. So in this day, in this hour, our righteousness, our holiness, our pure life is what allows the glory to come. And everyone that will yield to it will experience the goodness of God. But everyone that rebels against it will find judgment. And many of them will turn to God because of that judgment. I don't want to be one of those that has to have judgment in order to turn to God. Do you? I want to be one of the ones that's judging myself all along the way, with the Lord's help, judging myself so that I don't have to bump into the judgment of God. Now let's keep this verse 16. These are inveterate murmurers, grumblers, who complain of their lot in life, going after their own desires, their talk is boastful and arrogant. They claim to admire men's persons and pay people flattering compliments to gain advantage. That's pretentious. That's trying to do something nice for somebody in order that you would gain for yourself. It's selfishness. Complaining. But remember, beloved. Okay, here's the command. You must remember, beloved, the predictions which were made by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, now there was a prophecy given by Enoch, but what I want you to remember is that it's not just about the days of Enoch and Noah, it's about what the apostles of the Lord Jesus said. They told you beforehand, in the last days, there will be scoffers. Now, Amplified explains what a scoffer is. Those who seek to gratify their own unholy desires. I'll take that word unholy out of there. The mere fact that you seek to satisfy your own desires is what makes it unholy. That doesn't mean that the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. But when you seek to satisfy your own desires, it's selfishness and it is unholy. Say unholy.
Unholy.
Say nasty.
Nasty.
It's nasty. Don't touch that nasty thing. Following after their own ungodly passions. Their own passions. Their own desires. Their own way. What they think is right. You know, there used to be, it just was really in the atmosphere, it seems, in our nation, a sense of right and wrong. That's gone over as a whole. I mean, when you can let a guy off that's molested two young boys for 4 years and say, well, he just has a problem. We'll send him to counseling. There is absolutely no sense of right and wrong where that's concerned. It is these who are agitators setting up distinctions. Kelly talked to us about that. Causing divisions. I think it's probably one of the most demonically inspired things that we deal with as pastors in the church. And it's not just I'm saying that pastors of our church, you know, we travel all over the world. George ministers to pastors literally all over the world. We have pastors' meetings. We talk to them. We hear from them. And they are crying out. If you could understand what it's like to be a pastor in these days, you would spend more time praying for them. Because the darkness that's behind the assaults on the church it's surprising. You just don't seem to be prepared for it. And the biggest part of it is the divisions which are caused by people seeking their own desires. They come to your church, they leave your church. They go somewhere else, they talk about you. They talk about one another, they complain, they spread rumors. And it's that in itself, you know, for a long time, I could almost tell you the day and the year that things changed. That kind of stuff didn't bother us a lick. We helped people start churches down the street. I said, you know what? You can build a church right next door to this one and it won't faze me a bit. There are plenty of people to go around and we'll believe God to fill this one with the ones He's sending and believe God to fill yours with the ones He's sending to you. It didn't bother me. Didn't think twice about it. People came, people went. But all of a sudden, something happened. It was like a snap of a finger. And things like that would happen. There would be such enormous pressure that came with it. We were under huge pressure that we didn't even know where it came from. It really blindsided us. We weren't expecting it. Snuck up on us. Where there was such pressure about people not attending, people leaving, going to other churches, and trying to take people with them. It was so many times it's about like a divorce. Because God puts people in your heart. If you don't know their name, you look out there and you see their face. You look out there, you see their face, you can look inside and say, yep, there they are. They're in there. And then the next thing you know that they left and griped and took about 8 or 10 people over somewhere else. So they can go over there and do that to that pastor, I guess. I don't know. And it took quite a while to get to a place where we absolutely overcame that. We had to press by faith with the love of God to where, bless the Lord, we're going to be happy with who comes to church. We'll love on them and minister to them. And if it's nobody but me and George, we'll have a good time. Amen. Hallelujah. We go as long as we want to or quit early. But I'm telling you, that's just indicative of the way the world is. Faithlessness. If you study in Timothy, both books, and you study in Peter and what they say about the end times, you will find that faithlessness, selfishness, and rebellion are all obvious identifiers of the Antichrist. Faithlessness. Tell you they'll be there and not show up. We've had to close nursery rooms because the workers didn't show up. And you know, I don't get angry at people because I understand there's a tremendous pressure out there to be like that. You see, their mind is working. Say, yeah, but I've got this and yeah, but that. And you just don't know and you don't understand. All that sounds good in your head. But that's what I'm talking about. There are things in your head, that voice that's talking to you and explaining and reasoning and all that self-talk that you have on the inside of your head, it's not under the influence of the Holy Spirit. It's dangerous and it will cost you. Because if you yield to that, and the area is as simple as showing up when you said you would be, staying faithful to where God puts you, staying faithful in your marriage, staying faithful in the job, staying faithful to your friends, obeying God. If you can't hear His leading and you're under the influence of the world's pull to be faithless, the world's pull to think like they think, you won't recognize it. And just because you don't recognize it does not mean that it won't still reach up and bite you. And then when you need to hear the Holy Spirit, when you are facing in trouble, and many of you, myself included, we have been in situations and you think, I don't know what to do. Where's the Lord in this? I need an answer to this. Why are we in this mess? How do we get out of this? How do we get out of this trouble? Lord, why is this so hard? Why is this so difficult? What do we do? And it takes then a lot of work and diligence to get past it, because we have practiced, most of the time inadvertently, but we have practiced the thinking and the listening to the voice of the world until we've come to that place to where that we follow that leading. Well, this can be very disheartening. How do you get out of that? Well, He answers it right here. He tells us what to do. He says, these are agitators. They set up distinctions. They cause division. Merely sensual creatures. Worldly-minded people. Now, I can promise you, ladies, that in some part of your life, you have been influenced by the world and you are worldly-minded in something that you don't recognize, that you don't realize. But some of us weigh more. You can be under the influence of that to the point that you are living in a seriously dangerous zone. You have got your life, your children, your family, your future. And you know what's the most of all? It's not all about staying alive in this life. I'm thinking about standing before Him. I'm thinking about after this life, and you stand before Him. What's it going to be? Because there's no fixing it then. So it's not all about just staying alive and comfortable and well-to-do in this life. It's about looking Him in the face and He looks at you and you're going to hear one of two things. You're going to either hear, well done, or you're going to hear, well. I want to hear the two words, not the one. I want to hear well done, not well. You got some splaining to do. So, Lucy, we don't want to be having some splaining to do. Some of you don't, you got to watch Nick at Night to keep up with I Love Lucy. So he says, these are people who are worldly minded. Now catch this phrase, devoid of the Spirit and destitute of any higher spiritual life. There's a life that we're supposed to live. And it's really, I mean, there's higher and higher and higher and higher, but to live higher than the world is really not very high. I mean, when you think about where the world is, you don't have to come up much. But there is a tremendous suction, a tremendous gravity of the world of worldliness, the Antichrist, and it's on the increase to pull you down, to pull your thinking, to pull your mind, to pull your paradigms into that dark perception You say, well, I'm not as dark as, you know, I'm not happy if my child were blow himself up. Well, no, but what about some other things? You might be shocked to find out what your child is doing because of you didn't have light working in your life. So what do we do about it? Here's the answer. But you, beloved, those are the wicked people. Those are people, and some of them are believers. They are not wicked on the inside, but they are living like wicked people. They're caught up in that worldly, carnal mindset, seeking their own passions and desires. But he said, oh, now, beloved, that's not what you should do. What does he say? You, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. Expect and patiently wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, which brings you to eternal life. I'm telling you, it's the mercy of God that will catch the church away. Now, he's not coming to catch us away, some beat up, ragtag, half, you know, one-eyed, half-lame body. He's coming for a bride that is without spot, without wrinkle, and he's going to do it. He knows how to do it, and he'll get it done. But the part that we have to play in this, there's three things right here, really four. But there are three that are essential for us. Beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How many times have you heard in the last three sessions the word faith? Now I want to tell you something. You want me to tell you something? I'll tell you something. This is what separates you and us as a group of people. It doesn't make us better, but it will make us more effective. Okay? Do you understand the difference? This is what separates us from some other groups in the body of Christ. You can't be a Christian without believing in faith. Faith is what makes you a Christian. If you don't believe in faith, then you're not one. But our perspective on faith is different than so many others, in that we believe that faith is more than just something exercised to believe in Jesus, that he saved us from our sins so we could go to heaven. But that faith is imparted into our spirit by the Holy Spirit from the seed of the incorruptible Word of God, and that it can be developed, and that it is required of us to use that faith to master the surroundings and the situations that surround us. We are required as believers. The Bible says those that come to God must believe. Jesus said, have the faith of God. Speak to the mountain, it'll get out of your way. And walk in love while you do it. So faith is the absolute, it's so critical to what we do. We're supposed to be in faith in everything we do. I was listening to Brother Keith Moore the other day on a CD, and he said, you know, we're supposed to be in faith everything we do. We're supposed to drive in the parking lot to the church by faith. We're supposed to get out of the car by faith. We're supposed to come in the church by faith, sit down by faith, listen by faith, receive by faith, help others by faith, leave by faith. But now, do you suppose you could come into the parking lot and be mad at your wife or your husband or your brother or sister as you're coming in the parking lot? Can you do that and be in faith? Can you get mad in the parking lot because somebody pulled into the space before you did and be in faith? Can you come into the church and be mad because somebody's sitting where you usually sit and be in faith? Can you come in and sit like a puffed up toad frog with your arms crossed and wait and see what the pastor's going to do and be in faith? Let me answer that one for you. Only six of you got that one. No, we have to be in faith. Everything we do is by faith. Why? Because that empowers us to walk with God. He says, I'm requiring that of you. Why? So he can walk with you. He can't walk with you unless you walk by faith with him. He's already in faith. So if you'll walk by faith with him, he can walk with you and demonstrate. And what are we talking about? Walking in the love of God. Going from glory to glory. Letting the life of God be evident in our life. Living a life that's a higher spiritual life than the rest of the darkness of the world. So we have to live by faith. That means you're going to have to go to the Word and see what that means. It'll tell you. Next, he says, praying in the Holy Spirit. This is one of the most lacking areas in the, quote, Spirit-filled church, Spirit-filled part of the body of Christ. Next week is the 100th anniversary of the Azusa Street outpouring, which began actually in Wales in 1904, spread to the United States, and was quickened at the Azusa at the Azusa Street outpouring in 1906. 600 million people claim to be Pentecostal around the world. But I can tell sometimes in our church, I can tell where I go when there's a whole congregation of people, whether they think they believe this or not, it's the way that they live. When you say pray in tongues, they remember that they did and they know that they can. But they don't. They don't. You don't pray in tongues. Pray in tongues was not a little bow on the package that you got. In fact, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will not only be with you, but He will be in you. I want to read something to you. It says, the scripture says that you are saved and you are told to work out your salvation. Doesn't mean work for it. You don't have to work for it. It's a gift, but you are to work it out. You're to work with it. Work it out. Exercise it. Use it. Go forward with it. Are you on your own? No. God provided the power to walk it out. Jesus came, appeared to the apostles. He breathed on them. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. But what was the next thing he said? But wait until you receive power from on high. So they had the experience of the new birth, but he said, there is a filling of the Spirit. And what happened when that power came? Instantly when the power came, they yielded to it. And what happened? They spoke with other tongues. Paul said, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than all of you. And this was the group he was having to correct because they were blurting out in tongues all the time. He said, I do it more than all of you, but I have some instruction about it. So it's more to have power in our lives is more than just energy. It's more than inspiration. It's more than just boldness. Power, the Holy Spirit power, is from the Greek word dunamis. We get our word dynamite from it. It's explosive. You want to know what moves the mountain? The dynamite power of the Holy Spirit. It takes faith and the power to move the mountain. It takes faith and spiritual power. It's not just what you say. It's the power that's released in what you say that makes a difference. You say, well, I've been saying things to it and it's not released. You haven't built yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 12:2 says that those who pray in an unknown tongue don't speak to men, but they talk to God, reveal mysteries, and they are built up and edified in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, you have to pray in tongues if you want to get what God has for you from the Holy Spirit. He says right here, this is the way you're going to keep yourself. This is the way you're going to be separate from the world. It boils down to these three things. Walking by faith and praying in the Spirit. Praying in tongues. Building yourselves up on your most holy. I never go a day without praying in tongues. I hardly go more than an hour or two without praying in tongues. It just comes out. My grandmother prayed in tongues to such a degree she prayed in tongues in her sleep. I slept with her till I was 12 years old. My grandfather finally said, it's her or me. One of us has got to go. So my grandmother sent him to the other room, but I went ahead and volunteered. And you know why I wanted to sleep with her? I slept just as close to her as I could. I slept on top of her till I was 6 years old. Why? There was a power that came out of her. She prayed in the Holy Ghost all night long. And how do I know she was asleep? Because she would pray in tongues breathing out and snore breathing in. I kid you not. I kid you not. It's just what she did. She prayed in tongues all the time. And you call, Nani, I've got this problem. Nani this and Nani that, and whine and complain. And she'd be quiet. She'd listen to you for a while. And she'd look me in the eye and she'd say, I remember being small enough that she set me on the counter. And I was telling her all this stuff, or I don't know what it was, but anyway, I was telling her all this, and she listened to me, and then she got close to my face, and she looked me in the eye, and she said, "Well, hit it in tongues, honey, hit it in tongues." Now, what is that building up for? What is the edifying for? What, you know, Ephesians and Peter both talk about us being built up into the building, the structure of God. You want to come into the fullness of the image of Jesus? That means we have to be built up in Him. How are we built up in Him? Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, being built up, being edified. But now what's the point of it? I love this. I want to read this to you in a little bit different way than it's punctuated, because it really helps me. And then see if you get it this way. So the three things: walk by faith, praying in the Spirit, guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. That's the way I've always read that. Faith, pray in tongues, and make sure you walk in love. But now listen to it like this. Beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, you guard and keep yourself in love. See, he didn't say guarding. So you can put it this way. Beloved, to keep yourself in love, build yourself up on your faith and pray in the Holy Ghost. I can't tell you the times, you know, we get under such pressure to say something ugly. I remember one time we were, it was many years ago, but it just made such a mark on my thinking. We had early morning prayer, had a chapel time. People would come in, we'd start work at 8:30. But a lot of us would come in early and pray before then. There was a real move of prayer among the staff at that time. And come into the meeting, and this little room that we'd set aside as a chapel had windows on two sides. The two walls were solid windows. Well, you come in early in the morning, the blinds were all shut, and the lights were out, and just a little bit of light coming in. Oh, it was so nice. Boy, you just come in, you know, the lights are a little bit low. It's bright outside, but you come in, and we'd get down on our knees and be at our chairs and start praying. And we're just, oh, we're so proud of ourselves because we came in early to pray, right? We're so righteous. Coming in, we're praying. And one morning, our boss came in, and he just walked in and flipped on all the lights, ran up all the blinds, up they went. And if the light didn't get you, then the noise would. And you could tell it just went like a flutter through everybody. It was like, you know what I mean by, does that kind of say it? I don't know how you spell that, but. And I had a really big come over me. It really, I was like, how dare you interrupt my holy prayer time? How rude. And this flare of righteous indignation came up in me and all over me. And I had this thought, you better get a grip. About to ruin everything I had just prayed about. And who knows, ruin what was about to follow. And you know what? I was under such pressure. Have you ever been under pressure to say, you know, give peace of your mind? And like Dad says, you probably ought to keep that peace. Some of us can't afford to lose any more of it. I was under such pressure to just speak up and say something or act ugly or something. And you know what I did? I just put my head back down on that chair and started praying in tongues. Just as hard and fast as I could. Not loud. Not for anybody else to hear. That would have been ugly. Just put my head down, start praying in tongues. And you know what? That pressure lifted. It didn't take but a couple of moments, really, just moments. And the pressure to be ugly, the pressure to be righteous in my own righteousness, lifted for me. It was over. Gone. I was like, oh, kind of like that button. That was easy. That was easy. Praying in tongues. Practice it. He says, build yourselves up. Well, if you're going to build yourself up, that means you're going to have to work at it. Not that it's hard. It just means you have to do it. Now, it's a funny thing that any time of the day, any time, the flesh is always crying out to sit down and do nothing, right? And I don't want to do that. Let's just watch TV. Let's just sit down. Let's do nothing. But if you sit down and get still to pray, your flesh will want to get up and do something. But it doesn't take very long to get that flesh under control. Whip it in control by praying in tongues. You know, Brother Hagin said that he prayed, decided he was just discovering some of these things. And he prayed in tongues for about an hour, and he said he just heard this. He said it was dry. He said it was like spitting cotton. Just, you know, just a labor. You just do it. Okay. His flesh is wanting to get up and do something else. And he had this thought come to him, you know, well, you just wasted an hour of your time. He said, well, that's not what the Bible says. And to prove that that's not true, I'm going to double up and pray for 2 hours. So he prayed for 2 hours more. Dry as cotton, he said. Dry as cotton. So then he said, that voice came to him and said, you have just wasted 2 more hours. He said, so I just decided, all right, I'm going to double it up. And he said, I prayed for 4 hours in tongues. He said, but somewhere along the end of that time, all of a sudden, in Oklahoma talk, he said, I hit a gusher. Leroy Thompson in Louisiana talk says, I hit a gusher. Now, it does not ever have to be dry. What you have to do is learn how to follow the Holy Spirit to lead you to that place on the inner man where He's at. Sometimes we pray in tongues so long because we're not used to knowing how to find Him. He's there. That's why we have tapes and things like that to help you learn about that and learn how to find and identify Him. Your prayer time should never be dry. Never. Why? Because He is. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow what? Rivers of living water. But we have to learn how to find those rivers. We do that by following Him. So let's stand and let's just pray a moment. Now, it seems to me that there are many of you. Some of you think maybe you were filled with the Spirit. You know, when George, he lived in Massachusetts, and he was really hungry to know about being filled with the Holy Spirit. A lot of questions and listened to some teaching on it from the denomination that he was in. Went to a seminar where they talked about praying in tongues. And he said, you know, I left more confused than when I got there. And his friends, they all talked about it. They would get together in their youth group and talk about tongues and ask one another about tongues. And somebody would say, well, did you ever talk in tongues? I said, well, I don't know, but I think so. Somebody else said, yeah, I think I did one time too. And that's the way a lot of people are. Sometimes some people have been taught that the Holy Spirit has to come on you the same way it did in the second chapter of Acts with thunder and wind and a sound and fire falling on your head and praying tongues. And if that doesn't happen, then you're not supposed to speak in tongues. Well, we have no indication of the wind and the fire any other place in the Scripture as an indication of being filled. That was an indication of His arrival. The indication of their being filled was that they spoke with other tongues. Jesus said, in my name, the believer will speak with other tongues. That's what believers do. So if you have never taken that step of faith and you have never, or you have, if you are not walking in the fullness of that like you ought to be, raise your hand and I'm going to pray with you, and that's going to change today, because all it takes is faith. Hallelujah. I see hands. Go ahead. Hands going up everywhere. Put them up. Be bold. How can you hit it in tongues if you're wimpy? Hallelujah. Amen. It's time for the righteous to act like the righteous and not be sissies about any of it. You know, there's none of the gifts of the Spirit that are sissy. I remember my dad telling me one time, he said, Terry, there's not a weak one in the bunch. You have to have a degree of boldness to walk in any of them, but you're designed to walk in the fullness of God. You are designed to walk in the power of God. You are designed to be a creature of love. And the way we are to do that is that the gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit We are seeking love so they manifest. They manifest to lead us to love. We seek love, they manifest. They manifest to lead us to love. It's just all God and it's all glorious. Hallelujah. So let's catch hands together. And we're going to use our faith. We came into this meeting believing for one another, did we not? Now there shouldn't be one lady leave this place here today not filled to the overflowing with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of praying in other tongues. And then you begin to seek God and find out more about it. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a one-level thing. If you pray in tongues and it sounds the same every time you do, then you're not doing it right. How would you like it if somebody only talked to you in one tone of voice with the same eight words over and over and over and over? Hey, this is the tongues of men and angels. It's speaking to God. I'm telling you, it's supernatural. It draws from all the resources of heaven, all the languages of the earth, all the languages of the supernatural. With every tone, every expression, every aspect of heaven itself can come out of your mouth through the power, the supernatural power of praying in the other tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost. Woo! Hallelujah. I did a study and found 40 expressions of the Holy Spirit. 40 ways that He expresses Himself and shows Himself. Ooh. Some of you are saying, I just want one. Just give me one. Well, we'll get one to you. He'll get one to you, but then don't just sit there. Use it. Exercise it in faith, believing. Praise the Lord. Now, Lord, we come to You in faith because Jesus promised us. He said the Father would give the Holy Spirit to anybody that would ask Him, any of His children. And so we make this declaration together today. Everyone say this, I believe.
I believe.
Jesus is the Son of God.
Jesus is the Son of God.
Sent for me.
Died for me.
Raised for me.
Seated at the right hand.
God.
For me.
So that I can be lifted up. And seated with Him.
I am a child of God.
I am born again.
Redeemed by the blood.
So that I may be filled with the Spirit.
Heavenly Father.
Jesus said. That You would give the Holy Spirit to me.
If I would ask You.
So I'm asking. Fill me.
To overflowing.
With the dunamis power.
With resurrection power.
With the Spirit of power.
To overflowing.
And I will.
In Jesus' name.
Speak with other tongues.
Because the Holy Spirit gives me utterance.
Now just yield over to it. Don't question it. Don't doubt it. Just yield and speak. You speak. Ombarashta e de ele motosa, ele makachta evro modoze, ele mache de seco e desa. Emanazaze selobododo ero poseke lelema shato brazanzile emakoshone mazazanzideti roba la kashandara kasazasi enga chatara la mokosanda ebranono selele mashagere namazasi elema komo romo bose lele meshe erema kanzonde speak. Use your voice. It's not His voice, it's your voice. Your voice, your words. You speak, He'll give you the words. Obranda shele emagandaza leberende so potore de shele makasatai. Edza tsomba ramaja, el makasonzo bomboso da deze sema tashtaye, el bodobra babasa sasale makesto, el masando boro maga sela, aromadozon zila bereshila kaze. Akonese
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If I could have the other speakers, Gloria, Kelly, Marty, a few girls, ladies would come up here in the name of Jesus. Could I have a hand mic, please? Would you bring me the hand mic, Brenda? Now we're going to pray for you in this atmosphere of faith. Can you sense your spirit rising? I mean, in 90 seconds of praying in tongues. What if you were to yield to that about 20 or 30 minutes a day? And I will tell you this. You cross over the 60-minute. Now, Marty, just isn't this true? That you can exercise up to 60 minutes and do a good thing. But when you hit that 60-minute mark, something aerobically. When you hit a 60-minute mark, something happens. Something changes and you sort of break through to a different category of calorie burning and it just... fat burning. It just puts you in a different category. There's something that happens long about the 60-minute mark. Isn't that right?
45 to 60 minutes.
45 to 60 minutes. I'm telling you, it's the same thing in the spirit. You get over into that place. You just got to get to a place where you're doing it all the time. But when you can set aside 45 minutes or so, I can tell a difference in 15. And you'll get to the place where it doesn't take you 30 seconds to step over into the spirit. When you develop that way, your body learns to be quiet and your spirit is quickened to it. But you practice getting over that 45. That's when you start breaking through to a different level. That's when you start moving from glory to glory. That's when you start seeing some things and bring some breakthroughs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so while we're in this atmosphere of faith, we're going to pray for you. But I also want our altar workers to come down. And those of you that want more somebody to pray with you further, you'd like some face-to-face contact with the scripture to go along with it, we have ladies that'll be lined up right here with their Bibles in hand, ready to help you, pray for you, lay hands on you if that's what you need. But we're going to pray a prayer of faith right now because we're already in the atmosphere of faith. We have been building ourselves up on faith since Friday night, haven't we? And now we've been praying in the Holy Ghost. And that is going to allow our hearts to guard and keep us in the love of God, which puts us where? In the glory. Hallelujah. Now, I made a promise to you that if you would come by faith, you would not leave here the way you came, but that you would leave here in a higher state of glory. Was the Lord faithful to that? Was He faithful to that? Well, we're not finished yet. So I wanted to ask Marty, if you'd just start, and Kelly, and then Gloria, if you would just close it out, and whatever is on your heart to minister and pray for these ladies so that they know. They've not only heard the word, prayed in the spirit, but they've been prayed for. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Oh, I just sense such a strong anointing, such a strong presence of the Lord being poured out on you like oil. Like oil. I just feel it in the spirit. I can sense it in the spirit being poured out from the top of your head, down your shoulders, down your back. Hallelujah. Penetrating you. Penetrating your spirit. Penetrating your heart, your soul, your body. Oh, hallelujah, Father. I thank you for the fire of God. Just receive it. Receive it by faith. Hold your arms up and receive it by faith. Father, we receive the outpouring of your spirit on all our flesh, all our heart, all our soul, Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive it. Shembede get heavy with everything good. The glory, the glory, the glory, the glory. Oh, the heaviness, the goodness, the weightiness of His goodness. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Within that strength, within that power, within that anointing is all that you need. All that you need to go back to your circumstance, to your position, to your office, and to operate in faith at a higher level, at a higher place, at a higher anointing. Oh, you are empowered to prosper. You are empowered to walk in the light as He is in the light. You are empowered to see, to see the next step. You have been empowered here to see and to take the next step. Thank you, Lord, that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened, that we know the hope of our calling and the riches of the glory of our inheritance in you, hallelujah, in you and in you and in you. Just receive the blessing of the Lord and know that you have been changed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Mark this day as a place in time. This day you received what you needed to change. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
That you've been in these ladies here. That they will become more and more and more and more aware every day of that treasure that is in that earthen vessel in the name of Jesus. And as they pray in the Spirit, and as they pray in tongues, and as they communicate with you, Lord, and as they listen to you and talk to you, that they become more and more aware of that heavy, weighty treasure on the inside of your glory, of your light, of your deliverance, of your wisdom in the name of Jesus. And that it begins to take the precedence in their life to make decisions. Our spirits begin to take the lead in our life in the name of Jesus to overcome problems. Our spirit becomes the thing that we speak out of, that we act out of, that we move out of, because we, in you we live, we move, and we have our being in you from this day forward in the name of Jesus. And so I thank you for that, Father. I thank you that each lady is becoming aware of your presence on the inside. And out of that, Lord, withdrawing it, and it overflows us into our homes, and our homes will never be the same. Our marriages, our children, our grandchildren, our mothers and our fathers, our families will never be the same, because the life of God is on the inside of us, and we're letting it out, and we're putting it out, and we're drawing on it. And so, Father, I thank you that as we pray in the Spirit, and you, we build ourselves up on the inside, Lord, that that place in us is getting bigger and bigger. And as we stir it, it's rising and it's rising and it's rising and it's rising and it's overflowing in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we receive your overflow. We receive our lives fixed by the overflow. We receive our families fixed by the glory in the name of Jesus. And we receive the wisdom of God, Lord, and we commit to you to walk in it in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for every lady here that they will hear every word that you say to them as they're walking in the light. Every word that you say to them. And they're so quickly obedient, Lord, that there's no time to even think about, do we obey? Do we do this or not? Lord, these are obedient ladies. And they're full of wisdom and they're full of light. In the name of Jesus, I pray for them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I lift up every home and every family, every woman in this place and all that belongs to them. I thank you for the peace of God coming into their life, their situations. I pray for their finances, Father, that you would help them and show them how to get out of debt, how to walk in abundance, to enjoy your prosperous life that you have for them. I pray, Father, that you would reveal to them the master plan for their lives. In Jesus' name. I pray over their trip home. I thank you for safety and protection, that everyone will arrive intact, nothing missing, nothing broken, as they come to their home. And the Spirit of the Lord will be upon them, and they'll be a blessing to their family And they'll speak words of God to their family, Father. Give them utterance. And in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray for every person to leave here born again, filled with the Spirit, and healed in Jesus' name. Now I want you to say this with me. I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life.
I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life.
He is my life.
He is my life.
Holy Spirit, come into me. Dwell in me. Live in me.
Guide me
every day. Teach me how to follow you. I set my heart on the things of the Lord. And I give you praise, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that my body's healed. My family's healed. Jesus himself has healed us. And I release my faith.
All is well at my
house.
My life.
All is well in my family.
And to you be all the glory.
Give me direction, Lord.
Tell me what you'd have me to do.
What can I do for you, Jesus? I yield myself to you. I give all the praise to you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your goodness. I pray and receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Our theme song one more time, but I want you to keep it in your mind, and as you go today, and just let this song come back to you over and over. I thank you so much for coming and allowing us to have the opportunity to enjoy the blessing and the presence of the Lord together with you. Brenda, did you have something real quick?
I just have one more announcement. The angel food has been changed to the dining room, so if you want to pick up your angel food after this, it's in the dining room now.
Praise the Lord.
Okay,
one more time. B, are you leading us? This B is leading us. B, little B is leading us. Okay, come up here. Let's sing it together, okay? Ladies are ready to help you and love on you. God bless you, and we'll see you again soon.